Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So,
part two.
Yes, Francis, we know it's part two. We know it's part two. Everyone knows that because they clicked on and they're listening to it. Everyone knows it's part two. Hey, Joe.
Yes.
Listen, buddy, you are a man of many talents.
Yeah.
Many talents. Hey, listen, you have just been given a part in a BBC drama.
Yes. Yeah. Well, technically I wasn't given it, just in case people were thinking like, oh yeah, it's Joe Sugg, we'll give him that role. I had to audition. I had to go on a train.
You auditioned
to Leeds. Yeah. So I'm in a BBC drama called The Syndicate, Series 4, directed
big drama.
And written by Kay Mellor. Yeah, it's a big gig.
Is it about gambling?
It's about a syndicate, a lottery syndicate that win the money. But there's always something that goes on. But
are you one of the syndicate?
I can't reveal that information. But my character is actually maybe I can. I'm not sure.
Are you the one who draws the balls from the lottery?
That's you with that microphone.
Wait, Joe, this is
two fat ladies.
Yeah. Joe, this is insane, buddy. Because you know I've watched loads of your videos, and everyone who's a fan of yours will know that you're an amazing impressionist.
I'm a bit of like a mimic. Like I like to, if I hear someone's voice long enough, I used to always. It all started when I was a kid. I'm a keen draw. I love drawing cartoons as well. So I used to draw cartoons at school. And my friends and other kids would gather around and sort of watch me draw them. And I'd always make sound effects when drawing them and give them like voices whilst I'm drawing these characters. Brilliant. And I reckon that's where it sort of started from. And then I, obviously from watching cartoons myself, I used to try and do the voices as well. And I think like voice acting characters in particular is something that I've always wanted to do.
Can you do anyone from Made in Chelsea?
Probably not.
It's too niche.
What about Jamie? No.
Give me a week, and I'll nail it.
Wait, but Joe, it's amazing. That's as a kid, that is so creative. The fact that you would sit there and draw and create up characters and things like that—that's insane. That's kind of something that.
I loved it.
Why did you? Have you ever made a YouTube? Have you ever made a YouTube cartoon at all?
Or? It's something that I would love to do. Definitely, it's on the list. I think I'm drawing a lot more at the moment. I've kind of like, I think since lockdown, I've kind of fallen back in love with it again, and thought actually I quite like this. So I've started actually posting the pictures to my Instagram now, which I would never have done a couple of years ago because I've been like that's so against my aesthetic of what I post. But now I'm kind of like I don't mind. I just want to put it out there because something that I've created
content
that I quite like.
King.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
it's an incredible joke. I want to do a little something because you are amazing at this, and I hope you don't mind, Francis. If you're going to shut, why would you shut your eyes? You don't need to shut your eyes for this. But Joe, if you were going to do a couple of your favorite voices that you like to do, yeah. And I know that you've done your YouTube channel. You did one which was like 52 impressions in like a minute something crazy, like that. If you were going to pick just three of your top voices, and then Francis, you're going to have to guess who they are.
Okay.
All right.
And if you start with the first one, we'll go for it. Here we go.
Right, okay, let me think. Okay, number one. Your eyes aren't closed. I can see you. You're sitting on your beach with your eyes open.
Yeah. Close your eyes, Francis.
Oh, wait, actually, I thought that was the impression.
Yeah. I don't know why you need to close
like,
your eyes.
I was like, Joe Sugg. That's Joe Sugg.
Did you think that was an impression?
Okay.
Yeah.
Number one, let's go with something nice and easy.
God, that's great.
Oh, is he from Family Guy?
No.
No.
Is this...
He doesn't...
Is this me doing bad impressions, or is this you just not knowing?
He doesn't know. Okay. He doesn't know.
Do it again. Do it again.
Hey, Mr. Krabs.
Oh, from SpongeBob?
Yes. Yes. You got it. You nailed it. Okay. Who else can I do?
That is honestly to the point. That is to the point.
You have to remember as well, I'm very on the spot, so these could go really wrong.
Amazing. Okay,
on YouTube, I have the luxury of picking the best ones and editing it all together to make it sound relatively okay.
Okay, just do a couple more because they're genius.
We can edit these. Yeah.
Okay, next one. Let's go with, what's the one I can do?
Say, there's a nice muscly throwing arm you got there.
Oh, that's definitely from Family Guy.
Yes.
That is so good.
The old man Withers.
Yeah.
So good.
Herbert the pervert.
Oh, my God. Okay, okay, last one. Sorry to put you on the spot, but one more, just because they are so good.
Hello, mate. My name is blank.
That is so good.
I actually think that I've been to that island that you're on right now.
That is so good. Francis, how do you not know this?
Is there rum? Is there going to be rum there? That's the main thing. Will there be the rum?
Francis, how do you not... What?
Is that Johnny Depp?
Yes.
Yes. It is Johnny Depp. Well, who's he playing?
Captain Corelli.
Or pretty much himself.
Yeah.
That's made me sweat.
No, mate, honestly, you deserve a round of applause. But it's amazing because what you are. But do you think that's helped you in your acting, that you are able to mimic like that?
I think maybe, because I mean, for the syndicate, I'm putting on a northern accent. So I'm actually playing a northerner from up north.
That's proper acting.
That definitely helps. It definitely helps, but I think the thing that I really like about it is, I mean, the directors are so good at what they do. Yeah. And like working with Kay is brilliant because she's such a good director. And that, like, there's been times where I've read the script and I have in mind how I sort of see it happening. But then with her guidance as well, it brings out the sort of best in you, I think. Because I love playing pretend. Like, I grew up as a kid, I've loved, you know, I used to always put on my own plays and stuff for our parents, and I was always putting on characters, and I used to buy blank cassette tapes and record my own like shows and put on voices and things. So like,
wait, so you were like the original podcaster?
Yeah, back in the old tape days, we used to have it was a wrestling podcast. I used to pretend to be like, the whole story was me and my best mate Jordan. We recorded ourselves pretending that we became friends with the Undertaker and Kane randomly.
What?
Really?
And we used to sit in my bunk bed and record and it was like a show. Like a fictional show about us becoming friends with the Undertaker and Kane, and then we got to meet The Rock and Stone Cold.
Do you still have these recordings, Joe?
Do you know what? I can't find those tapes anywhere, which is so annoying. There's those cassette tapes, and a cassette and an actual videotape of me and my cousin doing Jackass stunts. And there's a video somewhere of me and my cousin creeping into my sister's room at night and putting toothpaste. You know that whole thing about putting toothpaste on someone's finger and then tickling their nose, and but she put it in her eye.
You'd get a nosebleed.
Yeah, exactly. I'd get a nosebleed. But she got toothpaste all in her eye, and she started crying. And we were like, "Oh!" And there's a clip somewhere of me and my cousin in my room, just being like, "Do you think she'd be blind?" Like, we were like so worried. But I can't find it anywhere. It's in a loft somewhere.
But where do you think that creativity comes from? What release was that? Because I loved recording, so I just turned all of my old... I had a video camera from the age of, like, 16 that I've got all the video tapes from. I just changed it into, like, a CD or an USB and got it. But my one was because I just like capturing things. I like capturing moments. And I always, as a kid, is always kind of like capturing moments. Where does yours come from? Where do you get that sort of creativity from?
I think it's massively from my parents, because my dad's very creative. My dad's creative... like in terms of like characters and making weird humor, and the characters that he used to make up definitely has been passed down to me. And also my mum is super creative in the sense that she makes her own silver jewelry. She's an amazing watercolor artist.
Really creative.
So like she's very like, and they've always really sort of encouraged us to be creative. And I think also growing up as a kid, not having technology to start with, and so being bored a lot growing up in the countryside. I grew up in Wiltshire, in a tiny little village.
Oh, where in Wiltshire?
Do you know Laycock?
Oh yeah, I know Laycock.
Yeah, so I grew up in Laycock.
I used to live in Honey Street. I had a little cottage down there.
Where's that?
In Honey Street, near Marlborough.
I love, love how he tried to repeat it. You went, "Where's that?" And he went, "Honey Street."
Well, Honey Street,
You don't know? No, no. I mean, I'm not surprised you don't know, because it's like got like 12 houses in it. It's like tiny.
Were any of them thatched?
Yeah, all of them.
Yes, that I probably have been there then at one point.
Yeah.
I've probably given you a quote.
Francis, you may or may not know that, and a lot of the listeners may know, Joe, you were a Thatcher.
Yeah, I was. That's where the term Thatch Joe comes from. It's not from old Maggie. It's from my old career choices.
But you, firstly, there's two things here. Like, firstly, you would have been pretty young when you started that.
Yeah, 16. Well, I did it for work experience. So my uncle is a roof thatcher, and it got to that point where we have to pick something to do for work experience when you're 16, year 10. And I was like, I just want to do roof thatching, because I thought that was quite cool. It was outdoors. It's quite hands on. But also still quite creative, because no one else was doing it.
It's like windling.
It's like knitting on a roof.
Thatching. I've always thought that it must be so satisfying once you finish the thatching job.
Yeah, it's that feeling of like, you look back at what you've made and think, I built that, I made that, I've kept someone dry and like secure for 20 odd years. But what wasn't great is that, you know, you spend all that time making this roof, and then the customer will ask for like a pheasant or a rabbit made, gone top. And so you get all these people walking past being like, oh, doesn't that roof look lovely? Like the whole 6 weeks you're working there. And you're like, thank you. Yeah. And then as soon as you put that little owl on top or pheasant or whatever, the only compliment you ever get is, oh, look at the pheasant, look at the owl. And the owl takes like 2 minutes to make.
It takes everything. So how long does it take to make a thatched roof, depending on how big the house is?
Depends on how big the house is, yeah. Usually, I think it's usually around about 6 weeks, at least sort of 6 weeks, but like getting the scaffolding up. But what's really interesting is there's two layers to a thatched roof. So you take off you've got a base layer, which is basically what's put on back in the old days. It's as old as the cottage. The base layer is when they built the cottage, they would have got like a local farm boy to just put a quick thatch on it, because that's what they used to do. That's how thatching started, was because farmers would build barns and stuff, and they had to quickly put a roof on it to keep the catwall or whatever it was dry. Yeah. So they'd get the farm lad to just quickly put on a quick roof made out of straw, made out of wheat.
Amateur thatching.
Yeah, so it's amateur thatching. So if you look in some of these old cottages, which are like 400, 200, 400 years old, you go into the roof of the loft space, and the base layer, because it's never taken off, you always just put a new layer on top or take that layer off and put another layer on. That base layer is still as yellow as it was in the field the day it was cut.
What?
And it's still preserved exactly how it was back in hundreds of years ago.
400 years old?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's all held in place with bramble, like bramble twine.
What?
Wow. So you just hold it all in place with brambles. Just cut the brambles down and hold it all in place with that. But now,
Joe, that's insane.
So do they have thatching like championships?
They probably do. They have like city and guilds kind of fairs and stuff like that. I can imagine there is events where people go on and show their like a trade event kind of thing.
Yeah, but like a thatching, like you have two roofs and then whoever thatches it first.
There should be. You know what I mean? There's a format in that, isn't there?
Extreme thatching.
Yeah.
wait, Joe. But this is like a talent that you have forever, and like yeah. it's a pretty. Do you think it's firstly it's a talent that you I suppose you have, but secondly, do you think it's a dying art or no?
It's definitely a dying trade, and I think that's one of the reasons what attracted me to it. Back when I was 16, was that it's like if I learn this, there's not many other people that know how to do it. There's no actual qualification, as far as I'm aware. There's no qualification in thatching. You don't get like a, I was going to say GHD, but that's a straightener, isn't it? You don't get a PhD. That's it in thatching.
You don't get a GHD.
Yeah, that's why I'm a thatcher. I'm not a anything else. But so you basically when the person your boss thinks you're ready, you can then go off and start yourself and. And so I just thought it's great to have that in the back of my mind, knowing that if I need to, I can fall back on an actual skill that not many people know. Because all the house thatched roofs, most of them are listed. So they can't ever be changed to tiles. So there's always going to be work there. And there's not enough people, potentially, not enough people out there that are doing the job. So it's...
But why?
Very smart 16-year-old.
Yeah, very smart 16-year-old. Yeah,
fell into it at the right time.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But do you know what,
Jamie? What's your fallback career?
Yeah, I am nothing. I have literally.
I'll take you
nothing.
On. I'll take you on.
Well, you'll be my master thatcher.
Are you good with heights? Are you good with heights?
I don't mind heights. I don't.
Are you
mind
good with rats? Are you good with rats?
No, I hate rats. You get a lot of rats.
You get rats. You get mice. You get squirrels. You get all sorts. It's like what's hilarious is that we were working for a lot of Londoners that had moved from London to this idyllic. You know They sort of move to London, make their money in London, and move to their idyllic country home in the countryside.
Honey Street.
And what they don't realise is living in a thatched roof. It although it looks beautiful, and you know you can say, "Oh, look at my thatched roof." You're living under a compost heap, a living compost heap, because you'll find all sorts in there over the years. Worms, because you know birds drop seed on there. You get all sorts. Rats. There's been times where I've
it's to really ruin your trade. Is it? It's not that convenient to have a thatched roof.
Well, it is because the pros, I guess, outweigh the cons in a sense that you know it's a natural conductor and insulator. Uh-huh. So it keeps you cold. Keeps your house cool in the summer and warm in the winter. Obviously, great for the environment.
Yeah,
and you know it's part of like.
Culture.
I guess, yeah, exactly. It's keeping heritage. It's like that whole heritage thing, and it's great.
Fire retardant.
Yeah, still working on that to make it completely fire retardant.
Yeah, because that's scary because that will go up in flames if it gets caught.
Yeah, bonfire night. You've got to keep your eye out on bonfire night. And it's like if anyone in the village is setting off those Chinese lanterns, you'll get an angry local resident knocking on your door, being like, "Don't do that."
But Joe, that's insane. So you went from, you've always been this curious man. You went from drawing cartoons and drawing those kind of things to thatching roofs, to starting YouTube, to then going on Strictly, then appearing in your own West End show.
Yeah.
Which was insane. You've done that. You've been in your own movie, biggest selling DVD on Amazon ever.
Was that what it was?
It was the fastest selling DVD on Amazon.
I've got a little thing up there, a little framed thing saying kind of like, well done, thanks for doing it. Like a little
thanks for making us loads of money.
Laycock, wasn't that? I think I've been to Laycock. Didn't they do Harry Potter there?
They did, and they also did because the thing with Laycock is there's no telegraph wires anywhere, so it's always used for period dramas, especially. So they filmed. They filmed Emma, Pride and Prejudice.
It's a beautiful village.
Very picturesque.
Is it a village? It's a town.
A tiny little village. And so I went to Laycock School growing up as a kid. And there's 50, I think when I was there, there's like 58 kids in the whole school from reception up to year six. But when Harry Potter came to our village, what was great at being at that school was we'd always get first dibs on being extras. So we got to, so Warner Brothers came into town or village and said, we want extras. And so I applied and everyone basically got to be an extra except for myself because I looked too young. And there was people that were in my year four at the time, I think it was, that were younger than me that still got a role because they looked older than I did.
You looked too young.
But I was that kid in school that had like, the uniform was always too big for me. Do you know what I mean? I was tiny.
I went to a pub there. I think in Laycock. Was it like called like the Catherine Wheel or something?
Then you've got the George, you've got the Red Lion, you've got the Carpenter's Arms.
Yeah, maybe it is the Carpenter's Arms. And I bought this chocolate. It was a chocolate sausage from this chocolate place. And it was I have to say it was the most delicious chocolate I've ever eaten.
Oh, good.
It was like a chocolate saucisson.
Okay. Good.
I don't know if you know that. Are you familiar with that?
I've never tried the Laycock sausage, but...
The Laycock chocolate sausage.
I've never tried the Laycock chocolate sausage, but next time I'm down there, I will definitely check it out.
You should. I think you could probably buy it online.
But they, do you know what though? I got to be in a... They filmed a period drama there when I was in sixth form called Cranford. With Dame Judi Dench and Philip Glenister and Jodie Whittaker, they were all in it, and I got to be an extra in that. So I remember back then, finding it fascinating how they made these kind of shows, and I was like, I would love to get involved in stuff like this in the future.
Do you think you're going to make a movie one day?
He already has. We said he's already been in a movie.
make a movie.
I don't know. That's the weird thing about my life and job, I guess, is that I never say never to anything because the way things go, like, I never thought I'd be doing what I'm doing now. Do you know what I mean? Even like 5 years ago, let alone back when I was a kid. So I'm always like, I like to keep quiet about everything and to see what happens. And if it does happen, then I can sing and dance about it because I've got, you know, I don't want to be one of those people that's like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then shout about it and then it never actually happened, or if it does happen isn't quite as good as what I'd hoped. So
you heard it here first, folks. Joe Sugg is making a movie.
Joe, before
next
we take,
year right before, yeah, every Monday
yeah. Joe, before we let you go because we've taken too much of your time, I just want to, out of all your achievements you've done, and there's a lot of them, what would you say personally is your most proud of?
I think being on our podcast. Yeah, other than being on this podcast, of course. I think obviously the whole starting the YouTube thing, I would always be grateful for that because without that, I wouldn't have been able to do anything else that I've done, and that was the real sort of foot in the door, kind of got me going. So it's kind of like, and that was only down to the fact that, you know, back then my sister was like, you should give this a go because this is the sort of stuff that you enjoy doing anyway, and now you can put it on the internet for strangers to comment on. I thought that sounds great. Make sure it's okay. Just give it the old check, and then I was like, and then after that, everything that's happened since then, I'd be naive to think that I don't owe it all down to that, and that the fan base that I've built up through YouTube. So I think like creating a loyal fan base online would probably be my greatest achievement. I think it always will be. I think no matter what happens afterwards, it's going to always be down to the fact that I made that one move.
How much editing did you do on your videos when you put this up?
Funnily enough, I've actually made a video it's going to go up this week at some point. But that took me ages. It took me like it used to take me all Sunday to basically edit from 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. That was if I was like relentlessly just going for it. So it does take a lot of time, and there's so much that goes into it, I guess, in terms of you are your own. You come up with the ideas yourself a lot of the time. You know, you film it yourself, you edit it yourself, you distribute it yourself, you promote it yourself. There's quite a lot that sort of goes into it, I guess. Especially nowadays, that like now that so many people are doing it, you now have to have something about you to get to the kind of levels that we were lucky enough to get to back in the day. You have to really have something about you, and it be that your personality or how creative you are or like a niche. Otherwise it's such a more saturated market now, so it's so much, it's so hard to be seen.
Yeah, but Joe, but I you know, and sorry, we just one more thing. It's that I have a slight issue with YouTube now, because YouTube has, and there's a lot of positive things on YouTube, but there's also a lot of negative things, and also a lot of people who are setting bad examples. It's about, you know, like throwing plates and driving cars and wrecking stuff, and it's not Jackass, because Jackass was about hurting themselves. They just like causing chaos to everyone and anyone, and that's what seemed to be popular.
Yeah, and like Jackass back in the day, it was never really harming other people as well.
Yeah,
I think that's where I've always been a fan of being able to take the mick out of myself.
Totally.
I think that's what's been really good for me over the years, is that there's never been any stick that I can take that I can't handle, in a sense, because I'm so used to, like, I'm quite a self-deprecating person anyway, and it's part of like my humor, I guess. So it's like, but when it, and so even when I did like all the prank stuff, it was always usually on myself or on a roommate or like, do you know, like my close friends. It was never laughing at the expense of other people, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the thing with like an online platform, though, is that unfortunately we live in a world where no matter how much we don't want it to happen, like things like drama and online spats and arguments is always going to still get interest.
Also it's really dictated by the crowd now. Like it's almost like you can't control like whatever actually the crowd wants, that's what's going to perform, and it's going to cause more of that, which is actually quite dangerous if you think about it, because if suddenly the crowd wants chaos and disorder and whatever, then
you're back to the Roman times with the Colosseums.
How can you police that?
Yeah, honestly, yeah. But I think for me personally, it's like there has been times where you think, you know, you could follow the trends of whatever it is, but I like to think that you just got to stick true to yourself and do what you want to do. And, you know, as long as if the videos that I always do are really like a positive, like, and just meant to be entertaining and making people laugh. And I think, you know, if that's not as popular, it doesn't matter to me, because I'm still doing what I enjoy doing, what I've always done. Yeah, exactly. And
you're staying true to yourself.
I wouldn't want to look back in like years time thinking like, oh, why did I try and make videos like that? Just to try and fit what was cool at the time. It's kind of like, you know, and it's like fashion trends. Hopefully one day it'll all come back around and, you know,
do you ever delete
in your mouth be cool again.
Yeah.
Do you ever go back and hide some of your videos that you feel like?
Nah, never. Cause I think that's kind of like part of what I've done, really. It's like that. I definitely cringe at some of them. A lot of them, I sort of think, oh wow, that I used to do that back then. But it's like, that is just part of what
hey,
I did, you know what I mean?
Likewise, buddy. Likewise.
Yeah, exactly.
Are yours still up, Jamie?
Yeah, all of mine. No, not even on YouTube, just in life. I can look back at a lot of things I've done and made in Chelsea and go, why the frick?
But do you know what, though?
That?
For someone like me, to go back and watch your stuff, Jamie, like I wouldn't cringe out of your stuff. Do you know what I mean? Because I think it's only for yourself that you
totally,
feel
yeah,
it
yeah.
that way.
You're very kind, Joe.
Because you overanalyze yourself a lot.
Hey, listen, speaking of history, Francis, we need to have the answer to the question of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what the question was, Jamie?
Yeah, what was the oldest complaint and when was it?
Okay, so the oldest known customer complaint was written 4,000 years ago on a clay tablet in Mesopotamia.
And what was it about?
So the year was 1750 BC. Someone wrote to their copper merchant to complain about the quality of the copper.
It wasn't a prostitute, Joe.
Damn it. That's a good guess, though.
It
was a good guess.
It was a really good guess. And you got 2,000 years ago.
Prostitution is an old trade.
I reckon there probably was a complaint about that earlier, but they just didn't think about writing it down on a clay plate.
Because they're too embarrassed.
They didn't want, to, exactly. They didn't want a paper trail.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, listen, buddy. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, pleasure. Thank
Honestly,
you for having
buddy,
me.
And
no, I've
thank
loved
you,
it.
Sorry that we've hassled you. Listen, so your drama's coming out when?
Do you know what? It'll be, I think, I reckon, early next year.
And when it's out, possibly we'd love to get you back on. If you're probably inundated, I mean, with everything, we'd love that.
I've loved it. Yeah, get me back on whenever you need me. Just drop me a text. I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, mate, Joe, you're so sweet. And also, we can follow you on Instagram and your YouTube channel, Thatcher Joe and Joe Sugg, right? And also, you've got a Twitch account, don't you?
I've been playing the games. I've been playing the game. If you want to watch me play games, which is a thing in 2020.
Where do we go to?
It's just twitch.tv/Joe Sugg.
I can't wait.
You should do Call of Duty.
I
play a bit of Call of Duty every now and then. Call of Duty 4 was my jam back then. That was the one I was good at.
I've just got this Warzone thing, and I've played it 10 times. I haven't fired my gun. I get shot every time I land.
The thing is,
Warzone is hard, actually.
Because we've been in lockdown as well. Everyone's just got so good at those games. They just get so good that it doesn't give people
I just play the multiplayer one, you know.
I've started replaying. Do you ever play Escape from Monkey Island?
No, what's that?
No.
It's like a point and click, like old school kind of like a puzzle kind of game, story based game. The oldies are the goodies, I reckon. I like
Crash
playing the old games.
They need to
Crash
bring back GoldenEye.
Yeah, GoldenEye.
Remastered. GoldenEye remastered.
All those games.
Hey, listen to you. We could talk for hours. Joe, thank you so much for coming on. Listen, buddy, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Just enjoy the ride of life, you know? It's going to take you in different directions. Some good, some not so good. But you just got to enjoy it. Everything is a chapter in the book. You know?
Yeah.
Everything's a chapter in the autobiography.
Joe Sugg, you actually a hero. Thanks, buddy. Listen, everybody,
cheers,
we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys.
Bye. Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.